So I don't know about you, but anybody have reoccurring dreams? So I had a reoccurring dream twice this morning in the middle of the night. I woke up that I forgot my sermon notes. I was supposed to be preaching at a place, and I didn't have my sermon notes with me. And that happened in two different series of maybe I should just chuck my sermon notes this morning. Maybe that was the message this morning. But anyway, it's one of those kind of things when you go through those kind of experiences, like, oh my goodness, and you're trying to get your work. And there was all these things that were happening besides that. But this morning, I want to talk about fasting as evidence of devotion to God. Those of us that have been on this journey, as we've talked about fasting, and I want us to look at Joel this morning, Joel chapter 2, and it's a rather short verse. It says, "Even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart and fasting and weeping and mourning." The book of Joel is the second book in a group of 12 books called the Minor Prophets. And when you look around or try to discover about Joel, we don't find very much about the prophet Joel. We do know that his father was Bethuel, P-E-T-H-U-E-L, Bethuel, and that Joel was a proclaimer of what was to come. And when we think about fasting, it is a preparation of what is to come. He wanted the people of Israel to know that judgment would be coming and that there would be a great destruction that would be evident, and that he wanted people to be aware of that, to continue to trust and to prepare for the day of the Lord. As we've been fasting, we've been preparing for what is to come, for where we are in our walk with God today, and with our joining together and praying for Pastor Dylan and his coming, and for us to reach the community, and for unity, and for God's wisdom in the days ahead. God, we discover, has a message for all of us, to walk with him. The message of Joel was clear. It says, "We have been following our own desires and not the ways of the Lord God Jehovah. It is time to repent." I think as a nation, we need to be a nation, a people that repent. We live in a troubled day, all of us, and we think about that. And sometimes, you read the signs that says, pray for a nation. We need to be doing that. But we need to be praying for individuals and for individuals to seek God. For we need to realize that unless, the scripture is pretty clear, unless a nation repents and honors God, there is not the blessing. And so we're in the midst of that particular thing. And here we find in this message in God's word, the message in Revelation to a nation, to a people that needed to be obedient to God. Revelations 3, 1 through 6 tell us, it says, "To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Listen, we are a part of ministry and evolve. God has placed Dighton Wesleyan Church here for a purpose of impacting the community for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not dead. we are alive. And I would pray that we'd be a part of those people who God sees as victorious, living a life that's pleasing to Him. I pray that that's how God would see us, because God's plan for us is to live for Him. And just as the message is spoken in Joel 2, it says, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning." And so what we discover is fasting is a confession of our need for God. Joel declares, "Return to me with all your heart." And he mentions the word repent. We are called to repent. And I don't think repentance is just for a one particular time in our lives where we repent. I believe probably there needs to be other times that we repent. We were at a meal this last week, and I was teasing my wife because she'd spilled some things on her sweatshirt. Now, men, this is for husbands. So I was teasing about that, and I had a cup of coffee, and I had a cup of water, and I didn't finish all the coffee, and I put the other cup in there, and then I went to get a drink of water. Guess what happened? That extra coffee decided to drizzle down my sweatshirt. So it was repenting, right, Devin? So I had to repent, and I said, it was probably due me. But anyway, there needs to be repentance. Do you know how many times repentance is mentioned in the Bible, in God's Word? 131 times. 131 times. And repent means that we are heading in one direction. We all know this. Repentance means we're heading in one direction, and we realize that we're heading in the wrong way. God is speaking to us when we talk about spiritual repentance, and we turn around and we go the opposite direction. That's repentance. And that's what God calls us to. It says in Joel that we need to be repenting. We need to be following Him. This last Thursday, we have a prayer meeting, a prayer group that joins together on Thursday morning. And so we were in a prayer group, and we're praying for different people. We're talking about prayer requests and things like that. And so one of the members that's regularly there says, "You know, we've been praying for this couple God has been directing me to help and to encourage." And they started coming to church, and he mentioned that they asked God into their life. And we celebrated that. We said, "That's fantastic." But then he said, "But I have a problem." It's like, "Okay, what's the problem?" He said, "I have a problem." He said, "There's no evidence in their lives that they've changed at all." Well, I spoke up and said, "You know, that's not your problem. That's God's concern. You did your part in helping them and leading them, and you need to be the example. But there needs to be repentance. I want you to know there needs to be that kind of repentance in our life, that there is transformation." And that's what we prayed for this couple, that God would speak to them and that God would help them to have their lives changed. I don't know about you, but sometimes there's people that live a life that is honorable and that is just wonderful. My father was the kind of man that lived a very, very positive life. Before he came to know Christ, and I remember my mom took us to church on occasion, and the only time that I remember about it very much is it was kind of a day like today, and we were on our way to church, and my mom hated driving in snow, and we went in the ditch going to church. That was one of the occasions that happened. But anyway, and my dad, he believed that he shouldn't drink. He didn't drink any alcohol. He didn't smoke. He didn't even cuss. He didn't swear. He was just a really good man morally. But there came a time that God spoke to his life, and he went to service. He was invited to a church service, and he was invited to this particular service, and he gave his heart to Jesus Christ, and his life was transformed. How did I know that there was a change? For one thing, instead of us going to church on occasional time, we went to church every time, we would say, the doors were open. We went to Sunday school. We went to Sunday worship. We went to Sunday evening worship. Some of you remember those days? We went to Wednesday services, and we went to revival services. And even though my dad lived a morally upright life, there still needed to be repentance and life transformation. And there was in his life. And God desires to do that in our lives. We need to know that there's something that is transformed. The Apostle Paul talked about that as an individual. He talked about his declaration as a Pharisee. He was very, very religious. But his relationship with the true and living God was not. And so he went through this religious activity. I want you to know there's all kinds of people who are religious. When I was in high school, and I felt called to the ministry and things like that, I used to wear a pin on my, it said, not religion, a relationship with Jesus Christ. I remember wearing that particular pin and said, I need to live up to that, about this personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what repentance is about. There's all kinds of people that are religious in the world that we live in. But we pray that the Holy Spirit would transform lives and that they would surrender their lives. We too need to be surrendering ourselves to God. In Isaiah, the message is in chapter 64. It says in this part, you come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But they're talking about coming to God. But when we continued to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of your hand. Do not be angry. And Isaiah is declaring the need for us to surrender to God, because when we are just about doing righteous acts and are not obedient to him, we are like filthy rags. And God desires to use us and to work in our lives. And so fasting and prayer brings up the realization that we are but like filthy rags before God. If God has not restored our soul and God has not given us direction, fasting is that kind of message to God about being devoted to him. Fasting is a commitment of being devoted followers of God. Joel says, return to me with all your heart. Now, I have a confession to make. You might have heard me say this before. I don't like the word Christian. Now, it's all right. Some people's names are Christian. I like that. But I'm not a big fan of people calling themselves Christians. So why? Because so often in our world that we live in, people will say that they're a Christian, but they're not a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. I would rather be known as a devoted follower of Jesus Christ, and that there's something, I was going to say strange about me. We already know that. There's something strange, something different, something that my life is in tune to God and the Holy Spirit's at work in my life. I would pray that would be the evidence in the things that I do and say and I'm involved in, that there would be noticeable, I'd be noticeable as a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And I believe that's how fasting helps us to be committed. Now, I know you'll probably hear the word Christian, you say, what did Pastor Tom say about that? Or maybe you won't think about it at all. But there are people, matter of fact, I was reading, trying to find out about what it talked about Christians. And it says that when I was reading, it said that United States is considered a Christian nation. That's what it says. Because there's a lot of people that say that they're Christians. But we know that there are many people, and we've talked about that, about this community. 69.4%, I think it is, people in this community have no religious adherence. Zero. And so we need to know that we need to be devoted followers of Jesus Christ. It needs to be evident in our lives. We need to know that we are devoted followers of Christ because we will face, well, we could face troubled times. We will face difficulty. We'll face choices. We must take up our cross and follow God, follow Jesus. In Matthew 16, 24 through 26, it says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? We do not live in a very persecuted time for us in the United States of America. We don't really have any idea or a clear understanding of what persecution is. Every once in a while, we find out about some people that are bullied or that sort of thing. But yeah, there are places in the world. Matter of fact, when you read on Voice of the Martyrs, I don't know if you've ever gone to that website, Voice of the Martyrs. There are other about the persecuted church and things like that. Talks about places where people are under continual persecution. Even their lives are taken because they take a stand for Christ as devoted followers of Christ. We don't have much of that in the United States. And yet still, we need to realize that we need to take a stand. We need to be prepared for whatever will take place because God is with us. And I want you to know, I believe there will probably come a time where greater persecution will come in the United States of America for those that call themselves Christ followers, devoted followers of Christ that take a stand in faith. Fasting is a confirmation of servanthood, I believe. The prophet calls the people to return to God with fasting and weeping and mourning. And I believe that when we fast and we pray and we seek God's face and we worship together, that it's an evidence of our love and our desire to follow God. Every person has gifts and abilities to be able to serve the Lord. You can say amen. That's true. Everybody. When we were pastoring in Lafayette, there was this one gal by the name of Connie. And Connie was raised in a family where her brother and her sister were musically talented, played instruments, and they sang, and they were wonderful. Connie could not sing. There was two boys and two girls in the family. One of the boys and one of the girls, man and woman, they were musically talented. The other two were not. And it was at a time when her parents were involved in evangelism kind of a thing, and they would go out and sing, and Connie was like, I don't have that talent. She felt belittled because she didn't have that talent. But I want you to know, Connie would pray about it, and she would say, I am not worthy because I'm not good enough to meet those particular things. And yet Connie was fantastic at cooking and preparing meals and doing funeral dinners and getting events like you're going to have for Pastor Dylan and his family to come. She was fantastic at that. And we were sitting around talking one time about gifts, talents, and abilities. And I said to Connie, your gift is hospitality and cooking. And your gift is as important as your sisters and brothers. And she said, nobody's ever said that to me before. Listen, everybody has gifts, talents, and abilities. And God desires, I believe, for us to use those gifts, talents, and abilities for His glory. When we have gifts, talents, and abilities that are God-given, we need to use them for His glory, just as it's on the screen. To not use the gifts and abilities that God has given us is sinful and disobedient. We had one of our ladies in Lafayette, her name was Verl. And Verl was in her 80s. And Verl, when she started coming to church, she worked in children's church and she played the piano for children's church and she was involved in the women's ministry and she did all of those for years and years till it came a time where she couldn't go down the steps very good And she just struggled with those kind of things. But she was talented. She was gifted. And so she said, let me do the things that other people don't like to do. I was involved in youth ministry at that particular time, and we were doing youth conventions, and we sent out thousands of letters and invitations and posters and all of those kind of things. And she would say, I love to stuff envelopes. And this was the day when you had to sort them all out by the zip codes and pack them together. And she would spend hours. And she said, can you bring me more? And she's in her 80s. And she just wanted to do more because that was a gift and a talent and ability that she had gained. And she wants us all to, I believe God celebrates. Not all of us can. I'm grateful for the platform leading in worship. I'm grateful for your worship team, I want you to know. I'm grateful for the people that work in the AV and people that greet and do all those kind of things, teach. And we don't see everybody in all of their activities. Sometimes people are doing things behind the scenes. But we need to celebrate all of those things. Sometimes people don't do activities on Sunday. During the week, they carry out things. We need to be thankful for that. We're thankful that not everybody can sing, so some of us can listen and cheer on those that are singing. We're grateful for people like Leslie who spend time in the office preparing things so we can read and all those kind of things. We're grateful for those. Fasting is a commissioning of God's call to reach our community and beyond. You and I are called to follow Him, to fast and to pray. We need to be consecrated, devoted followers of Christ. And I'm asking that all of us, as we prepare for the coming days, when Pastor Dylan comes and fulfills responsibilities, that we would be committed and commission to be all that we can be. You and I are to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, to be the life and blood of truth, to carry the message of the cross of salvation and the message of hope to humanity, to our neighbors, to our family, to our friends, to people that we know and people that we don't know. People need the Lord. Maybe you remember this song by Steve Green, and I'm not going to sing it. But the words are, every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes, empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear, laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? We are called to take his light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through his love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives? For people need the Lord. People need the Lord. We've mentioned it before in our community around Dighton West St. Church, according to the 2020 census, that within a 7-mile radius, there are 6,881 people, probably give or take a few. And of that population, 69.4% have no religious adherence. And if you take that number and multiply it by 0.694, you come up with 4,810 people who have no religious adherence. Listen, you and I have a responsibility to live out the good news of Jesus Christ as devoted followers of him. It means that people leave and depart this world without knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They are headed to hell. And somehow that needs to grip our soul. We need to be a ministry of loving others and caring about them. We find in the message that Peter proclaimed in Acts chapter 2, it says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, your sons and your daughters. This is the message of the prophet Joel. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's a message for us today. As people need the Lord, you and I can be the hands and feet of people of God to reach the people around us. Every one of us need to know that. Denise and I have had the privilege of being in Zambia, Africa 3 times. We were there to do leadership development for pastors in Unity. And on one occasion, we went to an orphanage outside of Lusaka. And this is a picture of the outside. These kids that were in this picture were kids that could not be in the classroom because they were sick. They had AIDS. And so they couldn't participate with all of the other kids. And there's a variety of things, impressions that come to your mind. And we realized that every one of these kids have a name. I remember one time we went into a room and there was a bed, baby bed after baby bed. And so there was this little toddler that was in the far baby bed. We walked in the room and he climbed bed over bed over bed to come and get to the place where we were. And we said, well, why is he by himself? And he said, because he's sick. He was a child born with AIDS. And so they separated him from others. But I want you to know that every one of those children had a name. And there's a picture, the next slide, that talks about the different names. And as we traveled around, there were all kinds of names. And that was a time that they kind of pick up any of the newest names. And so we met a kid that was named Google and one that was named Yahoo and Pilot. And they had all kinds of names. The district superintendent's name was Refrigerator. And he was a tall, 6'2", 6'3", young man that was very, very thin. Did not look like Refrigerator from Chicago, Mr. Perry, 72, number 72. Anyway, you remember. Not any comparison between refrige. We call them fridge. But anyway, every person had a name. And I want you to know, God is interested in every person. He knows your name. And you can see some of the names that are up there. Like there were names like Precious and like that. And then as we departed, or actually when you come in, their next picture shows a quilt that they made. And as we stood in front of this particular quilt and we began to read the names, there was the names of the children who had died of AIDS recently. And every one of them had a name and were important to God. Listen, when we think about the 4,810 people who live within 7 miles that have no religious adherence, every one of them has a name. And every one of them, including you, all of us, have a name and are important to God. God knows our name, and he wants us to reach them for us. We are important to him, and he wants us to be committed to his cause. I'm going to ask the worship band to come. There's a couple things that I want to say to you as they sing today and as they share this morning. I'm asking for us to be committed to what God would have us to do as we serve him. I would like us to recognize that God calls us to unity and to commit ourselves to do what he has for us and for the future. I think it's on the next slide, this message. Because God has called us to an act of commitment, to declare Jesus as my Lord and Savior, to commit myself to tell my story of Jesus to others, because that's the message that God has for us, to tell our story of our life commitment, to commit to building unity and support as the new pastor comes, and be in Jesus as I live this life and serve him. The worship team is going to sing, and I'm going to ask you to stay seated for right now. But if God is speaking to you as they sing, if you want to close your eyes, as they sing this closing song, and if God is speaking to you, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, say, I want to commit to being that kind of devoted follower of Christ, to take a stand, to live my life, to tell the story of Jesus in my life wherever I can, to pray and fast as the pastor comes. As the song is being sung, I would ask you to stand, saying, I make this commitment to you, God, to be the person that you've called me to be. I want to be that kind of devoted follower of Christ, to tell the world, because people need to know the Lord and they have a name. And I pray that their name be written down in the book of life. I'd like you just to bow your heads, because this is between you and God. And as the worship team sings, if God is speaking to you, I pray that you'd stand where you are. At the end of the song, I'll call everybody to stand. But God is speaking to you. I want you to stand and say, I want to live for Jesus. I commit myself to him to do that. Amen. Stand as God speaks to you.